This is a Clearview original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine.
The Mighty Musca, who's it?
The Mighty Muscadine. It's a grape, and it's grown right here in North Carolina. In fact, the Muscadine grape is North Carolina's state grape.
I thought North Carolina's grape was the Scuppernong grape.
Shh. The Muscadine grape produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when it's under stress from the environment it grows in, leading to a whole host of health benefits.
Well, that's all well and good, but in my experience, anything healthy typically tastes like dog water.
And that's the magic of using real natural Muscadine grapes. Muscadine grapes have two extra chromosomes than regular table grapes have. Those extra chromosomes provide a much-needed genetic ability to help build your health. Unlike other fruits or berries, the Muscadine grape can resist mold, bacteria, and viruses without the use of harmful chemicals.
Yeah, but the problem is I'm very rarely in the mood for grape juice.
Well, good news. You can head over to MightyMuscadine.com and see that they have an entire lineup of products designed for everyday use. If you work out, they have protein powder. I know you wash your hair and brush your teeth, right?
Not very often.
That's gross. But if you're a normal person who does, they have shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste. They have a one-a-day dietary supplement. They have body lotion. I'm telling you, these guys have it all.
Sounds expensive.
Not at all. All of their products are extremely affordable.
Even for a skinflint like me?
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you in on a little secret because I like you so much. I'm going to give you this promo code. It's T-O-D-A-Y. Promo code TODAY. You use that promo code at checkout and get yourself a sweet discount. And every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show. Don't miss this opportunity to supercharge your health and well-being with the incredible power of Mighty Muscadine. Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com. And use that promo code T-O-D-A-Y. You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can do that by sharing it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. For any reason, we're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
Today's verse of the day is coming to you today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always.
Really? That's all it is?
That's the verse.
All right. Shout out to Dr. Dwayne Carson of the Date the Word app. No, I mean, listen, that's what we're doing, right? Even this radio show, it's a form of rejoicing. It's praising God for the gifts and the resources that he's blessed us with. But it's just a way to live your life, that you always rejoice. And it doesn't mean that times are always happy, but you always are grateful to God for what he's doing in your life.
Yeah, that's why it's a command. It's not dependent on your circumstances. It's not dependent on your situation. No matter what's happening, rejoice. Mm-hmm. Choose joy every day in your life. You know, we have my wife and I have that hanging somewhere in our house. It's hanging in our dining room up on the wall. It's just a canvas that says choose joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that choice.
That's right.
No matter what's happening in your day, you could be having the best day, you could be having the worst day, something in between. You could be stressed, you could be relaxed. Choose joy.
That's right.
I mean, Paul reminds the Thessalonians there, and it's a great reminder for us. Rejoice always, no matter what's happening. Choose that joy in your life.
Mm-hmm. You were joking about it earlier, but this episode is actually sponsored in part by the Date the Word app. You can get it for free right now on your phone, whether it's an Android or an iPhone. Hope you don't use Android, but if you do, you still deserve access to God's Word.
You cannot get it if you use a flip phone.
That's true, yeah. A Motorola Razr is straight out. That's right.
So sorry about that. Actually, Razr's come back. Did you know that?
Excuse you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
No, it doesn't look the same, but it's a Razr.
Had someone write into the show this morning with a question that I thought was too good to pass up. This one is actually really, really good.
Okay.
Who is the slickest character in the Bible?
Slickest? Like suave,
cool, suave, like,
okay,
like okay,
talk so, his way out of a situation.
Yeah, so when I say slick, I'm talking like a Jack Sparrow type. Always gets a way out, always okay. Just smooth all talking, right. kind of gets his way, like a Tom Sawyer type. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Okay. Slickest character.
That's a great question.
I mean, Jacob comes to mind,
but I feel like Jonah?
What?
Huh?
Jonah?
Jonah?
No.
Is slick?
Yeah, Jonah's kind of slick.
No. If anything, he's a little slimy from being in the belly of a fish, but not slick.
Yeah,
no.
He's like a smooth talker.
How
he's
is
like
he slick? Absolutely not a smooth
or he's
talker.
Like, he convinced all those guys.
No, can I tell you?
No, the Lord convinced them. He's
let me
he's
give
40 days
events.
And y'all are in trouble.
All right, here's let me give you an order of events.
No, I wasn't talking about the Ninevites. I was talking about the sailors.
Jonah is a prophet.
Yeah, okay.
No,
of the Lord God Himself.
Oh, what? Say it again.
Jonah is a prophet of the Lord God.
Yeah,
he says. The Lord now says, Jonah, go to Nineveh, preach to them.
Uh-huh.
Jonah says, no, runs.
And bye.
runs to the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
not slick. Okay. When he gets on the boat.
Yeah, he didn't try to bargain with the Lord.
Yeah,
nothing.
When he gets on the boat, instantly the sea is just tumultuous, not slick. He tries to lie about it, not slick, because they find
instantly-
out.
He
and then he's like, all right, guys,
called.
It's me. And then he's like, y'all got to throw me overboard. So they throw him overboard.
Yeah, that's not slick.
As soon as he hits
as
soon as he hits the sea, what happens? A big fish eats him. That's not slick. And then he's in the belly of a fish pouting. And then when he gets to the other side.
Okay.
When he gets to the other side.
Hold on, you don't have to finish.
Vomits him onto land. He preaches. Everybody gets saved. That's cool. But then. Instead of being like, you know what, Lord, you were right, he pouts. He was like, Lord, you shouldn't have saved these people.
Yeah, I knew you were going to save those people.
So maybe...
Not slick.
Maybe Jonah, no. I'm having a hard time taking the L on this.
I've just unlocked it. This is why you think you're so slick.
What do you mean? I am slick.
No.
I am slick.
No, you're as slick as sandpaper.
No, not at all.
No.
You don't think I'm a smooth talker? You don't
think Jonah is a slick person... It makes a lot of sense.
Don't you think I'm like a smooth talker? I can sort of get my way out of situations like that?
You're about as slick as Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Oh, my goodness.
When he's like, we'll build three tents, and Lord, you, and then God was just like, I'm going to have to cut this guy off because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Let me stop you there, Peter.
Yeah.
Okay, Jonah's not slick. Jonah's so not who's slick. Slick? Who's slick in the Bible?
I think David's pretty slick.
Yeah.
Except when
David's
he did the scratching on the wall thing.
Yeah, that was kind of
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, that was not great.
That was kind of insane. We
Joseph,
may do some episodes
I,
on
Joseph,
that next
I
week.
Would say is slick.
Joseph.
Or Daniel.
Daniel's slick.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel's slick.
Yeah.
Zacchaeus? A short guy in a tree?
Maybe. We're not really... maybe. Let me think
of who's
New
slick.
New Testament.
New Testament.
Paul's not slick. I love Paul, but he's not slick.
He caught those guys with craftiness. Remember in 1 Corinthians? He caught you by cunning?
No, Paul's, I think if Paul's you roll into slick. A city and then stir up a riot and then get beaten in the street, that's not slick. He's the apostle.
A whole epistle written by him that people don't contribute
but
to him.
They
that's
said
slick.
They also said
that. That's true. That is pretty slick.
He said what?
Paul has a whole epistle written by him that people don't contribute to him.
I don't think that's slick. I don't think that's slick.
If I think of a slick person...
I don't think he's a smooth talker.
I think of John, the apostle. Because he was like, hey, me and Peter raced and the beloved disciple...
That's slick. Yeah.
John is slick.
John is slick.
That's a good point.
Apparently this John is not slick, but John the apostle is slick.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Great question. You guys send those questions in because that's a fun one. I'm going to ask Dr. Shaw what he thinks.
And write in and let us know who you think is the slickest character
Who's
in the Bible.
The slickest character in the whole Bible. Don't say Jonah. Don't say it on live radio to over 6 million
people. There are no wrong
people.
Answers except for Jonah.
Yeah. Jonah might be the biggest goober in the Bible.
252-582-5028.
Is Jonah a dork?
He's a little bit of a dork. 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Shout out to Jonah. We'll see you when we get to heaven. We'll see you guys after
All
the
right,
break.
We'll be back.
Elizabeth, my darling bride, what would you say is the most beneficial thing you could do for yourself in the morning?
Probably drink an entire pot of coffee when sitting.
I'd say that's a close second. No, the best thing you can do for yourself is to start every morning with a daily devotional.
Only we had one to talk about.
Well, as it turns out, we have two.
Right now, you can unlock the power of daily inspiration, wisdom, and spiritual growth in our devotional series, 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning. Written by our pastor, Dr. Abadan Shaw, and his wife, Nicole, the 30 Days devotional series is designed to reveal new biblical truths every single day.
That's right, and every day is a new revelation to guide you on your Christian journey toward a more meaningful and purposeful life. You can pick up your copy today from our website, that's clearviewbc.org, or you can grab both books on Amazon, Apple Books, and Audible.
That's 30 Days Through a Crisis and 30 Days to a New Beginning by Avedon and Nicole Shaw. And don't forget, these are only the first two in an expanding devotional series. So keep your eyes peeled for future installments.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Avedon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Avedon Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shaw, who do you think is the slickest character in all of Scripture?
That's a great question. You guys asked me that one time before. I'm trying to think. There's so many.
So like, when I say slick, I don't mean like he's a scumbag or he's just cool.
He's not necessarily dishonest.
He's just got the sauce. You know what I mean? Like Tom Sawyer's kind of slick, but he still does good things. He's not a scumbag. He's just, you know, he's a smooth talker. He's got that special sauce.
Yeah. I would say Solomon, King Solomon was.
Yeah, he's slick.
Yeah, he's slick. I mean, 1,000 wives.
Yeah.
How many do you have? Like
700 wives and 300 concubines.
Yeah. 1,000 altogether. Yeah. You had to be slick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody was really into it. And then I said Jonah, but then I was very quickly corrected, which I think is probably.
Yeah. I think where we landed with Jonah, he's not slick. He's just slimy in that he was barfed up by a whale. So he's literally dripping slime.
Well, it's just impossible to. So what we said was it's impossible to look cool when you try to lie, are immediately caught, tossed overboard, eaten by a whale, spat up, then you go preach a sermon and pout right after. It's impossible to look cool, which is, I don't know why I said Jonah originally, because he might be the most unslick.
We're going to continue the conversation from yesterday's episode, talking about how to deal with temptation, specifically how Jesus dealt with temptation and what we can learn from that. So in light of that, what is our daily encouragement today, Dr. Shaw?
As I mentioned yesterday, temptation is part of life. Mm-hmm. Giving in is sin, so don't give in to temptation. Don't give in to the enemy telling you that temptation is sin.
Mm. Yeah.
But I will also add to that, just know that daily we're under attack.
That's true.
Daily. If in your home there's conflict going on right now, stop. Look at your spouse. As a husband or as a wife, look at your spouse and realize that that your spouse is not your enemy. Mm-hmm. Your enemy is the enemy.
That's right.
And that sometimes is very difficult to do when all your emotions are caught up and you're vested in that argument and you want to win that argument and there's so much in your mind is on the line. Just know all those are the enemy's lies. Mm-hmm. And stop. Just stop and realize the enemy is the enemy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we talked about understanding yesterday the bait that the enemy uses. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because we always see those parallels in Eve and how he tempted Eve and how he tempted Jesus. But I think a lot of times, even for me, I'll neglect the fact to remember that's not just like a cool coincidence. That's the same tactics he uses on us.
Right. Yeah.
That's the same thing he uses on me.
Yeah, not much has changed.
Yeah.
Food is a big temptation. Mm-hmm. I know it is for me.
Same.
And the same thing he did with Jesus. If you are the Son of Man, a Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Mm-hmm. And very, very, very reminiscent of Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, same temptation.
Yeah.
Food. I mean, at the end of the day, we are very base people.
True.
All we really care about is what goes into our belly.
Mm-hmm.
Food. We'll do anything for it.
Yeah, I remember there was one time, there was a sermon you preached one time. I think it was on 1 Corinthians, where all the people were acting up in the triclinium or whatever, but you're like, you have no idea. Like, you think this is just exaggerated. Go find any church conflict in America today. Yeah. Most of them will be over the church supper or the lunch, or they didn't bring this, or I didn't get enough of this.
All the time it happens over, I didn't get something, and people's feelings get hurt. Or so-and-so showed up at the fellowship dinner or Thanksgiving luncheon or something, didn't bring anything, and they're over there sitting. You know, hey, you want to do this? You want to eat? Then make sure you contribute. I mean, this is the level of at which we argue and fuss. In America, across the world, it's the same. If you really get down to the heart of the matter, is we are very, very, very base people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, keep in mind that the first fight in the church, right, in the book of Acts, mm-hmm. is over food.
True.
Mm.
The Greeks and the Hebrews, and the Hebrew widows.
Mm-hmm.
And again, both of them are coming from Jewish background.
Mm-hmm.
One are Greek-speaking people, kind of like living in the dispersion.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hebrews were those living probably in Jerusalem, or at least they mostly spoke Hebrew. And they were fighting because their widows were not being taken care of during the dinner. My mama over here,
right.
She's a widow, and she didn't get anything to eat.
Golly.
And my answer would have been like,
years ago.
Yeah, I was like, why don't you go buy her some food?
Right. Well, that's what y'all supposed to be doing. I thought that was what y'all was doing. Maybe I was wrong.
Well, how come so-and-so over there, and she's not even from Jerusalem. She's not even from here.
How's she going to get a plate? And my mama don't get a plate.
So people who don't even go to church here getting a plate before Mima does?
Yeah.
And that's what you're telling me? Okay.
Yeah. That's how we're going to do.
That's how we're going to do.
But here's what we're going to do. We're just not going to come.
Yeah.
Or we'll come for preaching and all. We're just not going to stay.
Yeah.
People do stuff like this.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they go to a coffee machine in the lobby and the coffee runs out. Watch them.
Yeah.
That was so. He looked at his empty cup like someone needs to notice me.
I've seen it.
Sigh loud enough that everyone can hear you.
If y'all aren't watching the video podcast, Pashad picked up his cup and like looked at it like he was expecting somebody to notice.
Yeah.
Was
like, yeah.
Golly, that was funny.
It's sad to me. It's like, really?
Yeah.
But one, we don't have to offer you anything.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Because coming to church does not mean, hey, you got to also provide me with the beverages.
Right.
No, you come because this is church.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But watch when that happens. And it's so sad. It's like, and I've done it too. So it's not like I'm saying other people do it. I've done it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I about that?
I've done that too. And it's kind of embarrassing. But one of the things that used to really, really needle me is when I would get home and my drive-thru order was wrong. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why, but it would make me mad to a point where like things that should have made me that mad didn't. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like I would get irrationally.
I'm disproportionately mad at this thing.
Right, right. And it's just, it's silly, but it is a real part of being human.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the enemy knows.
Yeah, and though there's a reason the tactics haven't changed, because they're effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They work. They worked on Eve. They've worked for millennia. They work on us today.
That's mm-hmm. right. But the second bait that he used against Jesus, which is very reminiscent of the one he used against Eve,
mm-hmm.
is he appealed to Jesus's eyes, mm-hmm. or pleasure, so to speak. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Showed him,
mm-hmm.
which means you have to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. So he showed him, he saw it, and then he says, okay. You can have this all.
And he, go ahead.
I've heard people poke fun at this, at the devil, you know, tempting Jesus with his own stuff.
Yeah.
Like Jesus is, he's God and all of it belongs to him anyway. So like, why in the world? But there's something much deeper happening here.
Yeah. Also, of course, it lines up very well with the temptation that Eve had
mm-hmm.
in Genesis 3:6, that it was pleasant to the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That forbidden fruit was pleasant to the eyes. Just mm-hmm. the way Satan showed Jesus. Showed means you have to see. Eve also saw that the fruit was very beautiful,
mm-hmm.
so precious. Look at all these kingdoms of the world. Aren't they beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they powerful? Doesn't that appeal to your sense of power? You can have power over all these people. Now, we immediately jump to Jesus's deity and go, well, he didn't need that. He has the whole universe. Mm-hmm. Well, wait. Humanity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, in his humanity, he's tempting him.
That's true.
And he does have the right because, yes, in a sense, he is given the authority over the world. He's the prince of the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who was given that authority to rule. So he is telling the truth in that aspect, like, I can give it to you.
Yeah.
Not that he would. But he is telling the truth. This is mine to give.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the best deceptions, right? The ones that have some truth in it.
Yeah.
So you latch mm-hmm. on to that truth. And yeah. I think we trick ourselves into thinking we're way stronger than we are
yeah.
in that the things that I look at won't affect me. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, like, from experience, that things that I looked at when I was in high school that I had no business looking at, I can pull up just like that mm-hmm. in my mind.
Yeah.
I even think about, like, I know we've talked about this on the show before, but David, like, when he sinned against Uriah and mm-hmm. Bathsheba, and like the whole fallout from that, like their firstborn baby died. It was like one of the biggest travesties in the entire kingdom. And it all started because he saw something he shouldn't have seen.
Right. Yeah.
You know, right. That what he saw put that desire in his heart. Yeah. And from there it was sort of unshakable.
Yeah. Your eyes, as we say that, you know, our windows to the soul. Mm-hmm. So true. What you watch, see, admire, even envy, or lust after through the eyes, they don't just go somewhere and get deleted, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. go to a trash bin. They stay.
Yeah.
And so be very careful what you, as the song goes, you know, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see.
That's right.
So don't see that video.
Yeah.
Don't take the second look at that person who is handsome or attractive or whatever. Don't do that. Don't let anything else go through your mind. Like, well, I wonder what he is like, or I wonder what she may be like up close. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't play with fire, because you do that, Satan knows, and he said, okay, I'll work on that next yeah. time. You got away this time, but next time I know exactly what to do. So when that temptation comes, you give God the glory and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus did, Eve didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good reminder for us. I mean, like we've said, the temptation itself is not the sin. It's where you go after that. Mm-hmm. So like you just said, when the temptation comes, don't be like, oh man, I've messed up. No, recognize it.
Yeah.
Give God the glory and move on.
And yeah. Christians will certainly, I think they'll do a more or less good job in real life. But then when it comes to like television, movies, music, the things that they put into mm-hmm. their minds yeah. and their eyes, I think there's a lot of compromising that goes on yeah. and a lot of like mm-hmm. rationalizing and justifying.
Yeah.
And even social media nowadays is so geared and so designed like a slot machine that you keep scrolling. It's mm-hmm. almost like a slot machine. Let me see what I get. Next, let me see what I will get next. Let me try one more swipe mm-hmm. and let's see where it goes. And you're getting new videos mm-hmm. with something else and something else and something else. And if you start focusing on something which is lustful or some other sin that easily ensnares you, now the program is designed to send more of that to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true.
So if you take that lustful look and stop and linger on that video, you know exactly how the algorithm works. Mm-hmm. Now you'll have 15 more coming at you.
Right.
And a lot of Christians are totally cool with that.
Yeah. And that's appealing to your eyes.
Very much.
Nothing's changed, right? In the history yeah, of the world, nothing has changed. Satan yeah. is still using the same old bait.
That's right.
But there comes a third one that he used against Jesus, which he also used against Eve. And it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 9, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
Hmm. So he's saying you're the Son of God. He's puffing Jesus' pride up, or trying to puff mm-hmm. Jesus' pride up, and saying you're the Son of God. Even yeah. if you throw yourself off,
you're the man.
Yeah. You're it.
Show him what's up. You're the man. You yeah. got it. You have all this power. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the same thing? I don't care whether you are a Fortune 500 business owner or you are the supervisor at that. Job, government job, or whatever you're doing, or in your school, or in the law enforcement, or even in a church setting mm-hmm. over that ministry. If he can get you with that bait of pride, mm-hmm. oh man, people will do whatever.
Yeah.
If he just appeal to pride. Mm-hmm. And what happens here with Eve in Genesis 3:6? And a tree desirable to make one wise.
That's what she wanted. She yeah. wanted to be wise. She wanted to have God's wisdom.
Wise, yeah. And be very careful about wisdom when people want wisdom. Why do you want wisdom? Mm. If you really want to know, why do you want wisdom? To make right decisions? Do you want wisdom to help other people to build God's kingdom? Or do you want wisdom so that people will look up to you and go, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. How do you have all that wisdom? Mm-hmm. If only I had all that wisdom. He appealed to Jesus's pride mm-hmm. that he can show off, man. Mm-hmm. You're the man. And he did the same thing with Eve, with wisdom.
Yeah. True.
And of course, Jesus rejected that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a verse that I'm sure many of you have already thought of or as we're talking about this, and that's 1 John 2:16. And it says?
It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world."
Wow. I think that spells out so many truths right there, that it's not of the Father.
Yeah.
All these things that Satan uses against us, even yeah. though he's quoting and twisting the word of God, it's not coming
yeah.
from God.
Yeah.
Flesh, eyes, pride. Mm-hmm. Flesh, the appetite. Eyes, pleasure. And pride, of course, pride and ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
Same pattern.
Mm.
You know, and if anybody here is struggling with the enemy, just know God has given us in his word, his pattern, his bait. Everything is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the answer to temptation is also the same.
Yeah.
True.
Where Eve failed because she just took it. Jesus was triumphant because he rejected the enemy and he used scripture.
That's right.
He used what we know in Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put on the whole armor of God passage,
mm-hmm.
the sword of the Spirit. You use the sword to fight the enemy. Everything else is defensive. Sword is the only weapon
yeah.
in the armor,
mm-hmm.
and it's the word of God.
That's right. So where Satan tried to twist his own sword using God's word, Christ actually used God's actual word, even right. spoken from his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one against food. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 4, verse 4?
It says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God."
Yeah. He's quoting Deuteronomy 4:8. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 8:3. Second one is pleasure.
Mm.
And here Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve."
Mm-hmm.
True.
Right? And he was quoting Deuteronomy 6:13. And for the third bait, which was pride, this time Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And he was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16.
Mm.
Yeah.
So throughout this temptation, Jesus used the word of God.
Yeah.
Do you feel like people give into temptation so much because they're just giving into emotion? Like, you know yeah. what I'm saying? I don't think emotion is what tempts us, but our emotions definitely get in the way of us circumventing or overcoming temptation, I
feeling.
Guess. I
yeah.
say.
Feeling.
Temptation preys on that feeling.
Yeah. I think that's where Eve felt that pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. She felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Jesus did not go to feeling. He went to scripture.
Mm.
And so feelings are not evil. Sometime back, somebody was trying to correct me. And I don't stand above correction. So if somebody is correcting me, but it's in the right direction, I receive it. But he was like, you know, I know you say a lot about emotions, but you know, God made emotions. And emotions is part of who we are. I'm like, I don't disagree with you one
mm-hmm.
bit.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
You should love the Lord with your heart, you know, emotions as well. Having said that, when I'm referring to feelings, are feelings that are so strong that you will compromise anything, your health, your well-being, your behavior. You will do whatever because that feeling is so strong, you go with it.
Right. I mean, God also created sex, but we certainly put boundaries on it.
Right.
There's no reason to think emotions are a boundaryless
yeah.
thing.
So if that feeling wants you to wallow in self-pity, mm-hmm. you'll go for it.
Yeah.
If that feeling gives you the license to get angry, you'll go for it. If the feeling leads you to pout, you'll go for it. You'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Because the feeling is your master.
That's
yeah.
right.
And yeah, it's a terrible master.
Can't be led by our feelings. We have
That's
to be
right.
led by faith.
That's
and
right.
we have to look to Christ as our example. And like we've said on today's episode and yesterday's episode, not just the example for us in how to fight temptation, but the one who has fought and won the battle for
mm-hmm,
us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jesus was more than our example.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says in Hebrews 2:18, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
Mm.
That's a powerful verse.
So it's not just follow Jesus' examples, but be near to him.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on him.
Yeah, he'll help you.
Yeah.
He'll help you overcome. You're feeling despondent? Ask Jesus.
Yeah.
You're feeling hopeless? Ask Jesus. You're feeling worthless? Come to him. He knows it all.
True.
And he will fill your heart with himself. Not just he'll give you those things, but he'll fill your heart with himself because he knows what you need.
That's a good point. That's a great point. How can I just, on my own power, do the things that Jesus does?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. It's not just something that you need from him. You need him.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So good. If today was helpful for you in overcoming temptation and understanding how to approach temptation, write in and let us know 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget you can partner with us financially on that same website. Be a part of what God is doing through the Clearview Today Show and help us impact the nations with the gospel. John, what's on deck for tomorrow?
We got lightning round questions. My phone, my inbox is just bursting at the seams with all y'all's questions. Thank you so much for sending them in throughout the week. We got a lot this week. So we're going to try our best to get through all of them. If we don't get to yours, obviously we're going to hit it in another lightning round questions. But Dr. Questions will be in the building tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Very nice. Make sure you guys are here. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.